slick, and the guards, distracted by her escape attempt, had completely forgotten to search her.
"Surely you didn't think to escape without any metals to burn?" Yeoman asked.
Vin lifted her head. He stood with his back to her again, though this time he was looking out a dark window. Vin found it very odd to see the mists curling up against the window glass. Most ska couldn't afford glass, and most noblemen chose the colored kind. The darkness outside of Yeoman's window seemed a waiting beast, the mists, its fur brushing against the glass as it shifted.
"I would think that you'd be flattered," Yeoman continued. "I didn't know if you were really as dangerous as reported, but I decided to assume that you were. You see, I..."
Vin didn't give him any more time. There were only two ways she could escape from the city. The first would be to find some metals, the second would be to take Yeoman captive. She planned to try both. She yanked her greased hands free from the manacles, which had been fastened to her arms when they were squirming and flexed. She ignored the pain and the blood as the manacles scraped her hands, then she leaped to her feet, reaching into a fold in her shirt and pulling out the silver screws that she'd taken from her cot. These she threw at the soldiers. The men, of course, yelled in surprise and threw themselves to the ground, ducking her presumed steel push. Their own preparation and worry worked against them, for Vin had no steel. The screws bounced against the wall ineffectively, and the guards lay confused by her feint. She was halfway to Yeoman before the first one thought to scramble back to his feet. Yeoman turned. As always, he wore the little drop of atium at his forehead. Vin lunged for it. Yeoman stepped casually out of the way. Vin lunged again, this time feinting, then trying to elbow him in the stomach. Her attack didn't land, however, as Yeoman, hands still clasped behind his back, sidestepped her again. She knew that look on his face, that look of complete control, of power. Yeoman obviously had very little battle training, but he dodged her anyway. He was burning atium. Vin stumbled to a halt. No wonder he wears that bit on his forehead, she thought. It's for emergencies. She could see in his smile that he really had anticipated her. He'd known that she would try something, and he'd baited her, letting her get close. But he'd never really been in danger. The guards finally caught up with her, but Yeoman raised a hand, waving them back. Then he gestured toward the bench. Quietly, Vin returned and sat down. She had to think, and she certainly wasn't going to get anywhere with Yeoman burning atium. As she sat, Ruin appeared next to her, materializing as if from dark smoke, wearing Reen's body. None of the others reacted. They obviously couldn't see him.
"Too bad," Ruin said. "In a way, you almost had him. But then, in a way, you were never really close, either."
She ignored Ruin, looking up at Yeoman.
"You're Mistborn."
"No,"
he said, shaking his head. He didn't turn back toward his window, however. He stood facing her, wary. He'd probably turned off his atium. It was far too valuable to leave burning, but he'd have it in reserve, careful to watch her for signs of another attack.
"No,"
Vin said, raising a skeptical eyebrow.
"You were burning atium, Yeoman. I saw that much."
"Believe as you wish," Yeoman said. "But know this, woman, I do not lie. I've never needed lies, and I find that is particularly true now, when the entire world is in chaos. People need truth from those they follow."
Vin frowned.
"Regardless, it is time," Yeoman said.
"Time?"
Vin asked. Yeoman nodded.
"Yes. I apologize for leaving you for so long in your cell. I have been distracted."
Elend, Vin thought.
"What has he been doing? I feel so blind."
She glanced at Ruin, who stood on the other side of the bench, shaking his head as if he understood far more than he was telling her. She turned back to Yeoman.
"I still don't understand," she said. "Time for what?"
Yeoman met her eyes.
Time for me to make a decision about your execution, Lady Venture.
Oh, she thought. Right. Between her dealings with Ruin and her plans to escape, she'd nearly forgotten Yeoman's declaration that he intended to let her defend herself before he executed her. Ruin walked across the room, circling Yeoman in a leisurely stroll. The Obligator King stood, still meeting Vin's eyes. If he could see Ruin, he didn't show it. Instead, he waved to a guard who opened a side door, leading in several obligators in gray robes. They seated themselves on a bench across the room from Vin.
"Tell me, Lady Venture," Yeoman said, turning back to her, "why did you come to Fadrick City?"
Vin cocked her head. "I thought this wasn't to be a trial. You said that you didn't need that sort of thing."
"I would think," Yeoman replied, "that you would be pleased with any delay in the process."
A delay meant more time to think, more time to possibly escape.
"Why did we come?" Vin asked. "We knew you had one of the Lord Ruler's supply caches beneath your city."
Yeoman raised an eyebrow.
"How did you know about it?"
"We found another one," Vin said. "It had directions to Fadrick's."
Yeoman nodded to himself. She could tell that he believed her, but there was something else. He seemed to be making connections that she didn't understand, and probably didn't have the information to understand.
"And the danger my kingdom posed to yours?" Yeoman asked. "That didn't have anything at all to do with your invasion of my lands?"
"I wouldn't say that," Vin said. "Set had been pushing Elend to move into this dominance for some time."
The obligators conferred quietly at this comment, though Yeoman stood aloof, arms folded as he regarded her. Vin found the experience unnerving. It had been years, from her days in Cayman's crew, since she had felt so much in another's power. Even when she'd faced the Lord Ruler, she'd felt differently. Yeoman seemed to see her as a tool. But a tool to do what? And how could she manipulate his needs so that he kept her alive long enough for her to escape?
"Make yourself indispensable," Reen had always taught. "Then a crew leader can't get rid of you without losing power himself."
Even now, the voice of her brother still seemed to whisper the words in her mind. Were they memories, interpretations of his wisdom, or effects of Ruin's influence? Regardless, it seemed like good advice at the moment.
"So you came with the express purpose of invasion?" Yeoman asked.
"Elend intended to try diplomacy first," Vin said carefully.